Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I'm Janie and it's sunshine. The sun is actually shining and the birds are singing. Wow, doesn't it make a difference? I'm so pleased, just so feel so relieved that spring is here actually. It really cheers you up, doesn't it? As much as we can feel cheered up right now with everything that's going on. I hope you've had a good week. There's been some interesting news stories again. There was one news story that got flagged up on the show I work on Radio 2, and I didn't actually see where the study came from, but apparently it actually said in this study that men live longer if they drink, what was it, two or three glasses of wine or something like that, but women are better off if they drink one. I mean, who creates this stuff? What is this BS? It's incredible. The joke of it is, as I've said many times, I would have loved those kind of stories a few years ago, 5 years ago. I'd have pounced on that and, you know, probably wrote a blog post about it and, you know, promoted it as much as I possibly could. I loved anything that kind of fitted my ridiculous cognitive dissonance around booze. But the reality is there are zero benefits, as I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you know, at least at some level. Zero benefits. Absolute nonsense that you live longer if you drink alcohol. Total nonsense. You may live a long time despite alcohol. Yeah, you might. But why would you want to live half a life in any case? If you want the benefits that red wine may allegedly bring, then it's just the polyphenols, the resveratrol, you know, the antioxidants. Well, have fruit and veg, you know, have a grape if you want that. As the lovely Catherine Gray said, I forget the exact quote, but she said something like, you know, if you want the health benefits and the polyphenols, trying to have wine for the health benefits and polyphenols is like ordering a burger just because you want the gherkin. It's like, just go straight to the source and get the decent stuff. And there's been a few things this week. And then there was the woman who apparently had four or however many pink gins and then ordered a Uber to the Ukraine so she could help out. A £4,500 Uber. Yeah, right. Fair bit of promo in there, wasn't there? But yeah, the media is full of it, as we all know. But on the good side, there's also some amazing stuff being done in the alcohol-free world. And I got to go to the alcohol-free off-licence the other night in Great Portland Street. They are closing on the 27th of March. So it was a kind of a little farewell do. And it'll be terribly sad to see them go because it really has been the most amazing initiative. But they're definitely thinking of getting a permanent home. So I'm all up for that. Let's hope they find a permanent home with an event space. And then I'll definitely be bagsying the first space to host an event. So I look forward to seeing you at that when it happens. But in the meantime, you know, you've literally got a few days if you want to make it down there. It's really worth it. I had a lovely chat with Laura Willoughby and the Club Soda guys. They've done such an amazing job. You know, they've kept all the balls in the air. I don't know how they've done it with everything else that those guys do. But they've created such a fabulous space, literally every type of alcohol-free drink in there, and you can sample it, and it really is a great way of getting introduced to great drinks. You know my mantra: keep the ritual, change the ingredients. I constantly bang on about it. I do think it's the key. I do think it makes the difference for so many grey area drinkers. It makes the difference between being able to stop and just having that monkey mind, that voice in your head that just constantly tells you you're missing out. Everyone else is having fun. Everyone else has got something nice in a nice glass, and all you've got is just a crappy juice. And it really bridges that gap. And in any case, why shouldn't we have nice drinks when we're grown up? We don't want sugary rubbish. So it really is a great way of introducing yourself if you can get down there. And that leads me beautifully to what we're going to talk about this week, because one of the brands that they stock in there are mocktails, and these are just fantastic. I'm not going to tell you about them because I thought it'd be just great to interview the creator, because he's such an interesting guy and there's such an interesting story behind it all. So we're going to hear from Bill from Mocktails in a little while. There's also, by the way, a competition. I'll put the link in the show notes, or you can go to imperfectlynatural.com, which is my kind of holistic living sister site, as it were, the sister site to the Sober Club. A lot of S's in that sentence. And the competition is there to win a set of... I think there's 12 bottles and cans, like a mixed set worth over 50 quid. So make sure you enter to win that competition. And we'll have that chat with Bill in a little while. The other thing I just wanted to share, last plug for Family Constellations. I know that this will be really frustrating. If you've heard me say it a million times, you can't make it, or you're not interested, or you're in another country. I know. But for anyone who has been hearing me say this, and a little voice has been saying, oh, I wonder if I should check it out, please do. It's Sunday 27th. It's in Kings Langley in Hertfordshire. It's myself and a trauma expert who's been doing this work for 30 years. It sounds super heavy. It isn't. It is quite an emotional day, but in a good way. And you really come away feeling I don't know what the word is really, optimistic. Often you feel as though you've been able to let go of limiting beliefs. Some people leave having their lives literally transformed, because sometimes one session of Family Constellations, one session, can make such a massive difference to your life, because it's all about the entanglements, the limiting beliefs, the family systems. It's so difficult to describe, but it's so worth attending. You don't have to take part, by the way, if you're thinking, you know, I don't want to share anything. No problem. Just come and observe. It's a very small group. We're very friendly. Just if you're interested, if you think you might be interested, but you want more information because it is hard to describe, then have a look at the link, which will be in the show notes. But also just drop me a message. Just go to Instagram at Janie Lee Grace. Drop me a DM and I'll get back to you. Or you can find me on Facebook or whatever, obviously. So that's my last little plug for events. We've also got a self-care and sobriety retreat coming up at Champneys on the 9th of April. There's going to be an Edinburgh Sober Club meetup with a couple of my Sober Club accredited coaches. That's, I think it's April the 23rd. So we're finally going to land in Scotland. And there's a Sober by the Sea coming up. So there's a whole bunch of stuff to come. If you're interested in any events, just drop me a message and I'll make sure that we get you included on the list to find out what's going on. And then the other thing I just want to share with you this week, I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts. I love podcasts. It's why I started this one. And my lovely mate, Lee Davey, who you will have heard me interview or me chat to on this show. We don't tend to interview. We just tend to chat and swear an awful lot. But Lee's been on my podcast. I've had the joy of being featured on his podcast as well. And then I came across one of his podcasts this week, where he interviewed an amazing relationships expert called Kathleen Hendricks. I hope I've got her name right. And she said some really amazing, profound things. And one thing she said, which really resonated with me, I know Lee won't mind sharing this because, you know, hopefully you'll go and have a listen to his podcast. But she was talking about this concept that she believes we all have a kind of, you know, a core of energy, if you like. And she described it like an energy hose. So you have this hose that kind of runs throughout you. And it's your fuel. It's what, you know, gives you life and helps you keep going effectively. And what happens is when we get stuck, you know, and it's such a great analogy, it's as if there's a kink in the hose. So the hose has just got like a little kink. So you know, the energy, nothing can flow. And I just thought, what a great analogy. And how often do we put the kink in our own goddamn hose, right? We're responsible for putting the kink in there. Or if, you know, some life, you know, stuff happens and a kink pops into that hose and energy can't flow, we do have a choice. You know, we do. We can leave it stuck and just, you know, just accept that it will, it, you know, it's just going to stagnate. It's not going to unstick itself. Or we can actually go in and unkink that goddamn hose and let things flow again. And she was talking in the parameter of relationships and talking about how when she calls it withholding, you know, and when you don't share what's on your mind in relationships, for example, it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays there. It stays there stagnating. It doesn't get released until eventually it does. Then it all rushes out. You know, she gave the analogy of a tap that hadn't been used in years and years at an old property. And then when you finally get it working again, man, does the gunk fly out. And of course, it's much harder to deal with when it's like that. So I thought it was such a great analogy. And it just really made me realise, as well as, you know, the whole idea of relationships and how they can, you know, literally bung up your hose, which is where family constellations is so beneficial, of course. But also it's our relationship with ourselves. It's what we're thinking about ourselves that we're not releasing, that we're not communicating, that we're not working on. And that's what I did for years. That's why it was so powerful for me, because it made me realise, you know, I had been pushing down those thoughts, that little voice that was telling me, this is not okay, stop with this alcohol crap, it is not who you are, this has to stop, you're meant to be interested in health and well-being, it has to stop. And I just pushed that voice down for so many years. It was literally stagnating, it was literally a kink in the hose. So of course everything, you know, stuff couldn't flow, of course I couldn't be who I, you know, authentically am, you know, or sit in meditation or like myself very much, obviously, because there was a goddamn kink in my hose. So, yeah, I thought that was just a really interesting analogy, and just helps us take back that responsibility. One of the things we talk about in family constellations a lot is the fact that, you know, this stuff that happens to us, it isn't our fault. Stuff that happens in our childhood, before our childhood, our ancestors, all the stuff that affects us, life circumstances, whatever it might be, an awful lot of it isn't our fault. The limiting beliefs we gathered were probably from parents or teachers or well-meaning friends. They weren't our fault, but they are our responsibility. Right. It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility now. And as, you know, Louise Hay so wonderfully says, you can't clean the house till you can see the dirt. So you have to look at it. You have to be willing to go and have a look at it. And of course, this is what really that's what the Sober Club is all about, really. It's not so much about, you know, stopping drinking. Obviously, I want people to stop drinking. That's you know, that's what lays the foundations. But then it's the everything else. It's what do we look at? How can we be brave enough to have a look at some of this stuff and start to unwrap some of the layers and become who we're really meant to be. Anyways, there you go. So Lee Davies' podcast is a great one to listen to alongside mine. And I'll have to get Lee back on and we'll have another chat, because he is, what I love about Lee's work is that he's so honest about his own journey. You know, he's quite self-deprecating, but he is able to admit that, you know, he hasn't got everything right. He's been sober for years and years and years. He's been doing an awful lot of work on himself. And yet he realized that still, when it came to his own marriage, he was kind of, you know, he was playing from his ego, as it were. And you know, there's just always more layers, isn't there? Always more to do. Anyways, keep the ritual, change the ingredients, which brings me fabulously well onto my guest. Really great to work with Mocktails this week for the podcast. Just such a great drink. And just let's hear it all from the main man.
My guest is Bill Gemelli from Mocktail Beverages. Bill, it's lovely to chat to you. Whereabouts are you in the world?
Well, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure. I am coming to you today from ski country in Vermont.
Nice. Oh, I say. Have you been skiing?
Yes, actually, I skied yesterday with my kids. It was awesome. And following the Winter Olympics, it's all the more spirit.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, you'll be pleased to know, extremely rainy and windy here.
I heard about the storms.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of storms. Anyways, tell us a little bit about your background. Love to know what got you into all of this.
So my background, I actually come from the banking world, the finance world. I started, first of all, I went to university where I met my wife, and there's a story there as well as it relates to the brand. And then she went off to law school, and I ultimately landed in the banks, what we call on Wall Street here. And I, with a partner, learned and developed a very specific specialty, having serving the venture capital and private equity investors' needs upon their exits from their successful investments. From there, I was in the banks for about 15 years. I worked at a few of the global brands. So Salomon Smith Barney became part of Citigroup, Lehman Brothers, which ultimately is no more, but I was very lucky. I left there a year or two before everything came crashing down on Lehman Brothers, and ultimately at Credit Suisse First Boston, or Credit Suisse as it became known. And during that time in the banks, I learned a lot about business, the markets, and specializing in certain industries, and really learned how to develop a craft and create solutions for my clients way beyond what the world was anticipating or what the world was offering at the time. And so I applied that to the need here in the non-alcoholic beverage world, is the ability to deliver solutions to customers and consumers.
Absolutely. Now, in the UK, you know, we've seen a massive, you know, rise in popularity of low and no alcohol drinks. Now, our impression, and you can tell me if this is right, is that for once, you've been slightly behind us in the States. Am I right about that or not?
No, squarely behind you. The renaissance, the innovation has been centered in the UK, really. Mm. Some of the leading consumer trends have actually been Spain and Germany, as a percentage of those actually consuming non-alcoholic alternatives. But the renaissance and the, I would say, the epicenter of innovation really has been the UK. The UK is well behind the rest of the world. And I'm sorry, the US is behind the rest of the world. And we're just now really waking up to the reality that we all need alternatives here in the States as well.
Yeah.
Ironically, I started in the States and I felt like we were behind. And when we discovered that we really truly were behind for a number of different reasons, when I say we, I mean the US.
Yeah.
We were way ahead from a brand point of view, way ahead from a conceptual point of view. We were so far ahead actually that it was actually difficult for us. And we had to decide what was the right thing to do. So ultimately, in order to be a part of the renaissance, we moved the production of the products to the UK. We felt like we could get the best ingredients on earth, get the exact right manufacturing proposition, get everything lined up exactly perfectly, and be a part of the global community that's developing these no and low options, and then re-import it back into the US. So that's what we ended up doing.
Great. So tell us about how Mocktails came about then. What was your thinking around creating this brand?
So it all started with my wife, Tracy, who was a non-drinker in college. When we had met, we met at Boston University. She was a full scholarship swimmer, which what it means here in the US, in the UK, you have a different model for university. Here in the US, you basically have to pay for your own university. And Tracy and I both landed at one of the most expensive universities in the whole country, which was way beyond our means. But she solved that problem by getting a full student athlete scholarship. So she was a swimmer, and they gave her a full tuition scholarship. And I solved that problem by working through college. I basically made up the difference. I had a tremendously generous aid package, and then I worked through college to make up the rest of it. So I was sort of an entrepreneur in college. That's where kind of my roots were, in entrepreneurship. But Tracy, as an athlete, and having her entire tuition be reliant on her scores, you know, her times, basically. She wanted to be at the top of her game. She absolutely did not want to drink alcohol. She wanted to be social, and she was showing up at the parties, but she wasn't drinking the alcohol so that she could be in the pool at 6 a.m. the next day with a clear mind and perform. And that's where it all began. She wasn't drinking. I was drinking. Ironically, I was the first person in her life to actually buy her a drink when she turned 21 in an actual bar in the U.S. Because here, again, different. You have to be 21 to go to a bar. And that's what really began. Once we left college, she was done with that part of her life. She moved on to law school and becoming a lawyer. We went to, you know, wine tours in France, and we did cocktail parties. We did business, you know, business parties. We did all sorts of things around alcohol. But then we reached another stage in our life, which was trying to start a family. And that was extremely difficult for us. It was a good 10 years of ups and downs. And we now have three beautiful kids. We're very lucky. They're all healthy. And skied with them yesterday, as I mentioned. They're fantastic. Their twins are 10 and my older son is 15. But through the process of trying to get pregnant, we went through a huge roller coaster, at which time Tracy wasn't drinking for a second time in her life for a different reason. And she was feeling separated. She was feeling like she just could not participate in not just the social functions with friends and family in the same way, but for work was really the glass ceiling. I always say to the men who are listening, the glass ceiling is real. She could not forward her career unless she was a part of those social occasions. And they wanted to basically know why she wasn't drinking from a curiosity point of view. But you and I all, we all know that if we, she announced that she was going to have a baby, then she was going to go on mommy track.
Absolutely.
Instead of partner track.
Yeah. But isn't it incredible really, when you, you know, just as an aside, when you think about that, 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 and I'm sure it still happens now, that the perception is, you know, if you're part of this workplace, you know, this is what we do. And, you know, you can take clients out or you can do functions or whatever. And there's something wrong with you, in inverted commas, if you choose not to put alcohol in your mouth. I mean, it's just bizarre when you really think about it like that. But it's absolutely part of the culture, isn't it? Everywhere.
Well, you know, I think as human beings, you know, we've been involved in beer and in wine and alcohol drinks from the very beginning. I mean, you're talking about thousands of years of human history and culture. And really, when you peel it way back when, the reason why a lot of people drank beer is because the water was unsafe to drink. So the alcohol would be the antiseptic. It would be safe to drink. So even kids would drink beer.
Yeah, that's why they're called toddlers. I love that little factoid.
Is that right?
That's why they're called toddlers, because they've been drinking beer because they couldn't drink the water.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna use that. That's fantastic. That's a great factoid. So look, the history of just the human experience has been that you want to break bread, you want to come together and unite and understand each other over beer, not beer, but over drinks and food. I mean, it's just. That's the way it is. And, you know, being Italian, believe me, everything was about the food, you know, in my family growing up. And of course there was wine there and a Sambuca and other things, but we drank to eat. It really was about the food. I mean, it was about the food and the family, but we have to understand that from a psychological point of view, that's where this all comes from. It doesn't come from a point of judgment.
Yeah.
It comes from a human experience, and we all want to be together and we all want to have those shared experiences. So when you're not drinking, it feels something is missing. It feels like there's a lost connection.
Yeah.
And then people get curious, why aren't you drinking? That's where the problem lies. And that's what we tried to solve for. We tried to make sure everyone was included.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, just because you've chosen not to drink alcohol doesn't mean that you then want, drink for 12-year-olds. You know, you don't necessarily want, you know, lemonade or a Coca-Cola just because you're choosing not to drink alcohol. Of course, you still want the nice grown-up drink.
Yes.
So why did you decide on mocktails then, rather than looking at the beers or the wines or whatever?
Well, so, you know, when I was looking at, you know, starting the company, I went through my whole sort of, you know, investment banking mantra in process of is there a true market? Is there a need? You know, what kind of solutions can we provide to folks? And one of the biggest things that I had to get over in my mind was, what kind of product can we include everyone? It had to be inclusive. Mm-hmm. And when I say inclusive, I don't mean to invite the non-alcoholic or the non-drinker, because of course the product was going to be designed for them. But it was really, really important to me that it wasn't made specifically and only for the non-drinker, that it invite everyone to the party, right? So we wanted to make a drink that if I was drinking and my wife wasn't, or if you're drinking and I'm not, we could literally have the same drink in the same glass using the same everything. The only difference is someone might drop alcohol in theirs, and now one is drinking a mocktail, one is drinking the cocktail, but they're indistinguishable from an experience, glassware, you know, shaking on the bar, the whole cocktail experience needed to come alive. And honestly, I felt like we could do a great, great job in that venue, but I didn't feel like I could do beer because I didn't know enough about beer. So I didn't go that route, even though beer in the cycle is running ahead of wine and spirits and cocktails or mocktails. I just didn't feel like that was my area that I could add value in, and they're great. They're amazing brewers and folks like Athletic and Big Drop and Drop Bear and there's and Lucky Saint. And, you know, there's a whole group of great, amazing folks are on the brewing side that are doing an amazing job there. So I'm glad we went where we went.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to stress as well that you know, because one thing that people sometimes worry about is the amount of calories, the amount of sugar in these drinks. Absolutely. There was a study just recently, wasn't there? I don't know if you saw it in the all across the press about how a couple of glasses of wine means you have the same amount of sugar as the same amount of calories as a burger or something. It was some headline, you know. And then, of course, there were lots of people saying that low alcohol and alcohol-free drinks have just as much sugar. Now, in my experience, that isn't true. And I know that you claim that your drinks are low in sugar. So that's another important factor, right?
Most definitely. In fact, if you were to compare our drinks to the soft drinks, or you compare our drinks to, let's say, the traditional mixers that are out there, for instance, you know, if you're going to make a margarita, if you're going to make a cosmopolitan, if you're going to make a Moscow Mule or a whiskey sour, and you look at those ingredients and you look at those sugar contents and you look at the chemicals and, you know, all the stuff that's in there. A huge function of what we were doing was, we started because my wife was trying to get pregnant. So it had to be, in our minds, it had to be pregnant mother approved, in terms of the ingredients going in. And we made a brand promise to our consumers that, you know, we will never skimp on the, ingredients, but it had to be, free from, so, allergen-free, gluten-free, vegan-friendly, and then, of course, use the right kind of sugar, first of all. There's dozens of different types of sugars, some of which are very deceptive, not deceptive, they're misunderstood, let's put it that way. Mm. So, for instance, agave is higher in high-fructose corn syrup than high-fructose corn syrup.
Yeah,
is.
Absolutely.
You have to be very, very careful. And so what we did is we only added enough sugar so that we balanced the drink rather than it being a sugary drink. And I want to state for the whole world to know that we also don't believe in the old form of mocktails. We're actually redefining what a mocktail can be.
You're right, because we do, if we're not careful, you know, we rock up to a all-inclusive holiday and say, okay, can you make me something without the alcohol? And oh my God, it's the sweetest, sugariest, syrupy, most horrible thing ever. So you are right about that.
Exactly right. So this is the history of our lives, Tracy and I together, which is, she'd ask for a non-alcoholic drink and we'd get a combination. First of all, they would ask you, in fact, it just happened to us as a team. We were visiting a customer out in the Western US. And when the cocktail waitress came up, she was asking us, would you like beer, wine, et cetera? What do you have that's non-alcoholic? Because I don't see anything on the menu. And the question is, well, what do you want? Well, how about a cocktail of some sort? Because we're the mocktail team. How about a cocktail? And they're like, well, we don't have any of those things. And so tell us what you want and we'll make it. And in the end, what comes is a combination, because the bartender only has so many things to work with. They gave us a combination of juice puree or fruit puree and simple syrup, shaken up, put it in a nice glass. And what you have is a sugar bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, the history of the word mocktail is very controversial. And we wanted to redefine what that meant for the public, because the word mocktail is known around, it is literally known around the world now as the moniker for a non-alcoholic cocktail. And rather than fight the public's view on that, we absolutely believe that, you know, our product is a premium product, and let's just redefine what a mocktail can be by bringing premium products to the market. You know, we've been served in Michelin star restaurants. We've been served in fine food establishments in the best bars. And I mean, the quality, in fact, the buyer recently from one of the largest hotel chains in the world said, the quality of your products, and I'm quoting, the quality of your products is undeniable, and we need to bring that in. Yeah. So So we recognize the sugar problem, and we want everyone to know that we do use sugar only to balance the drink, and it's much, much, much lower than what you'll get in the other soft drink spheres.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk us through your flavors then. You know, what's in it? In the should we start with the Mocarita? What's in that one?
So the Mocarita is our take on the margarita, and essentially, as you know, all margarita drinks, at least the classic margarita is starts with lime, but we use a combination of lime and botanicals and different wonderful flavors to bring up that drink to be worthy of its own standalone margarita experience. And we took a page out of tonic, for instance. So tonic is made from quinine, which is made from bark, right? So it's interesting that no one in the world would have thought of, you know, using a bark, an extract from bark to create that taste. But we actually use that as one of our many ingredients. All of our drinks have anywhere from, you know, 20 to 27 ingredients in them. And that's just one of the many ingredients we use, but there's other botanicals and everything, by the way, is non-GMO sourced through the EU. And they're all natural. And that's really one of the big keys. So lower sugar, all natural. And we just use a combination for our head and master mixologist, Ezra Starr, who is known throughout the world as being an absolute revolutionary in the cocktail world, help us take these ingredients that some people wouldn't have thought of, put them together to create something new, but reminiscent of classic flavors. That's the Mocarita.
Yep.
Similarly, in the Cosmopolitan, Cosmopolitan is classically using cranberry juice, lime, and vodka. But we use the botanicals and our unique and secret blend to bring up that flavor. So what you're not getting is cranberry and lime juice in a fancy glass. You're getting a cocktail made with some cranberry and some lime to create a beautiful experience.
Great. And then you've got the Moxo Mule.
Moscow Mule. Yep. Moscow Mule. So that was actually, so we call it the Scottish lemonade, Moscow Mule. So that was actually playing on the Moscow Mule, but also on the idea of a whiskey sour. Whiskey sours have just a beautiful balance of just the sour sweet and that whiskey flavor. And we wanted to give the consumer that proposition that they could enjoy that type of drink. And our drinks are very, very versatile. So some people might put it in the Moscow Mule range. Other people might put it in the whiskey sour range. But essentially, we use ginger with the lemon. And again, our unique blend of lots of different ingredients to give that reminiscent experience.
Yeah. And then I can't wait to try this. You've got the sangria. Is that how you say it?
The sangria. Yeah.
Yeah.
So wine is particularly interesting of a product range. And we do have our own wine coming out soon. But our first step was more on the cocktail end of the range, which was a sangria version. And we have, I think it's 27 ingredients in our sangria to allow the consumer, again, to have that beautiful experience. All of these should be shaken in a shaker. So 1/3 ice into the shaker, pour the whole bottle in, shake it very vigorously for about 3 seconds, and then pour it into your, you can strain the ice out in some cases or glue the ice, pour it into your favorite cocktail glass, and you have a ready-made, easy mocktail. Some folks will add their alcohol and do that as well to make an easy-made cocktail. So everyone's included in the same party. But that sangria is multi-layers. There's you get the beautiful Sangiovese grape must from the hills of Tuscany. You get the clove, you get the orange bitters. I mean, you know, basically people have told us if they didn't know any better, they would have thought that this was homemade, you know, sitting overnight in the refrigerator. So It's a beautiful, subtle, and yet sophisticated take on a sangria.
Yeah. And we should say that these are 200 mil, really lovely cans, slim cans. So the great thing is that, of course, these are perfect for, well, you know, picnics, parties, festivals, you know, on the go, really.
So thank you for bringing that up. Our original product is 200 milliliter bottles, which go right into the shaker, as I mentioned, put 1/3 ice and shake it up vigorously. You get that beautiful cocktail experience. The ingredients come alive and, you know, the ice chills it to the right temperature and so forth. But yes, we launched our 200 milliliter nitro cans just during dry January, which is really exciting because now that same shaken and serve experience can be right out of the can. Mm-hmm. What happens is the nitrogen in the can basically explodes up through the liquid, aerating it and mixing the liquid for you. So all you have to do is chill the can in advance, pop the can open, let the nitrogen do the work for you, pour it over ice or not into your cocktail glass, and you're off and running with no need for a shaker or shaking over ice. So we have a great consumer proposition. What we didn't want to do was you know, the market has gone to two things. The market has gone to putting the same liquid in a can and the same proposition that's in a bottle in a can, which we didn't think would be the right thing to do. And then the other folks, a lot of folks have carbonated their drink. And to me, that's just another flavor of a soda. We wanted to do something that was truly unique and wonderful and truly a cocktail. So the nitrogen is inert. And as soon as that nitrogen escapes the drink, all you've done is mix the liquid and it's become that beautiful frothy experience when you pour the drink, but then it's inert. And so it's no longer carbonated in the glass.
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you see, you know, your brand going in the future and indeed, you know, the whole market, both here and in the States, what do you envisage?
So thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about that. You know, we're in three markets today. We're in the UK, the US and Canada, and growing rapidly in all three, really having a great time of it. But we certainly see expansion, you know, into Europe, into the GCC countries, and into the Asian markets as well. You know, we see our product as a solution across cultures. You know, what we've seen is what we believe is that, yes, demographics are certainly important and the younger generations are clamoring for these solutions. But actually, when you really look at it, it transcends age, gender, race, geography, income stratosphere. There are people all over the world. There are literally billions of people around the world that are looking for a solution, either for teetotalism reasons or for moderation reasons. So we feel like we have a solution, not just a product, but a solution that we can bring to hospitality and to retailers, basically, you know, around the world. So we're on that track, and we'll be continuing to do that for the years ahead.
Excellent. Well, it's been great to chat to you. I know that we can get hold of the drinks in the Club Soda pop-up shop, which is still in Great Portland Street, which is brilliant news in London. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat to us, Bill. It's great to chat to you, and wish you all the best for the brand. We should catch up in a year and see all the amazing growth. Yeah.
Well, thank you again. And you can also find them, check out Selfridges as well as drinkmocktails.co.uk and drinkmocktails.com, as well as Amazon. And also absolutely visit the Club Soda store. They've got lots of variety of products and solutions there as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So all the links are going to be in the show notes, and we have a competition, as I say, to win a whole set of mocktails. You've got to be in it to win it, so have a go at that. I'll put the links in the notes. And please don't forget to follow me on Instagram if you're not already, at Janie Lee Grace. And if you've got any questions or you want to suggest a podcast guest, I'll be delighted to hear from you, particularly if you can maybe hook me up with them as well, because sometimes I have all these great ideas of people I'd love to interview, but you know, it can be difficult to get hold of people. But I have got some amazing guests lined up. Really looking forward to bringing you some fantastic guests in the next few weeks. So make sure you message me. Definitely message me if you've got any questions about family constellations, or book your ticket. Go for it. Be brave. It's next Sunday, 27th of March in Hertfordshire. And there's a whole bunch of information at thesoberclub.com/events. And of course, you know, if you want support, if you want connection, if you want that non-judgmental cheerleading for everything you're doing, not just the booze part, everything, the starting to look at what's going on with you, the starting to want to get fitter, to get healthier, whatever it might be that's going on in your life. You know, in the Sober Club, we do have members who are just starting out right at the very beginning, and they get a huge amount of support. We've also got an online course included, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. And then we've got members who are 6-7 years sober. And of course, they aren't still agonizing over booze the whole time, or even at all. But there's always something they're working on. And it's amazingly inspirational to see just see the changes in people once they've stopped drinking. It's really, it's just the most rewarding thing, I think, to just be inspired by someone who's ahead of you and be able to give back to people who are, you know, just starting out. So that's what's really great about that power of community. Whatever stage you're at, find some kind of community that sits right with you. It's really important. I really believe that connection really is the key. And I know it's the thing I didn't have at the beginning. So I now know, looking back, why it was harder for me than it needed to be. I felt more miserable than I needed to, quite honestly. You know, so I do think that getting connected is absolutely the answer. So Family Constellations, 27th, whole bunch of other events. If you go to thesoberclub.com/events and make sure you click that link and enter to see if you can be the winner of some mocktails and check them out. In any case, I'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.